we're going to have a picnic. Don't no one bring any water. The little silver trailer that we have, it's chock full of cases of water. You know why? Because I was worried we wouldn't have any. And you folks care so much. You brought case after case after case. And my faith was so shallow. That Thursday, I went and bought 26 cases. And then you matched it the next day. We had enough water. That's right. We're gonna have picnics, and we've got it all. Except for the ice from McDonald's. We'll get it, D. Oh, we had so much fun that week. D, up there at Garrettsville McDonald's, we kept sending coolers up every day, and D was filling them up with her ice machine. And what a great time we had. Alrighty. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, if you would. I want to talk to you from three Bible questions tonight. And three Bible questions. All I'm going to do is read you the Bible questions. The Lord put these in my heart this morning before church. And I just wrote them down real quick, and then this afternoon I put a little stuff with it. And but this, when I told you this morning I only had three questions, I still only got three questions, but that's got to cut a little more with it. I got some filling with it. But let's stand for reading God's Word. I'm glad you're... Boy, it's already 5 of 7. Wow. You know what, though? I have fun when I come to church. I have fun when I... You know, people are supposed to come and worship God, praise God. Your heart ought to be lifted up in praise. And sometimes I wonder if we just come, we just can't... Let's get it over so we can say we were there and leave. Man, not me. I want to come because I want to have a great time with the Lord. Amen. Genesis chapter 3 and one verse, verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and he said unto him, "Where art thou?" Genesis 3:9. I'm just going to read three questions to you tonight. The first question is, I'm going to use where God... By the way, Adam was leaving his old place, and he had a new future ahead of him. And God came walking to him in the cool of the day and said, "Where art thou, Adam?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the slide presentation we saw. Lord, that's our future. How I'm excited just seeing what we've seen. I think about what we're going to see in the future. going to be way more than what we saw just now. And thank you for the people who are saved and baptized. Thank you for the special day that you gave us last Sunday. Lord, may it always stay warm in our hearts. We pray that that day will be a day that will actually help people's lives in the future for eternity. Pray that seed was put in their heart that would bring them to Christ. We pray your blessings on us tonight now, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Tonight, I just want to stir you to think for the future. That's my whole goal. All I want to do is make you think about the future. I took three questions from the Bible, and I just want to pose them to my church tonight. God said to Adam, "Where art thou?" God asked Adam a question. Adam, where are you? Adam, your future's ahead of you. Do you see it? Do you see it? We just showed several pictures of our 50th anniversary and work on our future land, the 30 acres on Infirmary Road. My question to you is, are you in the picture? Did you see yourself in that picture? Do you see yourself in that picture for the future on an 8300 infirmary? Where are you? Can you imagine yourself in the picture, in the future there? Can anyone say amen? Where are you? Where do you see your future? Are you still living in the past? Or are you looking into the future? Where's Eddie and Liz White? I don't see them tonight. Oh. Boy, Lizzie gets so excited about the future. And Infirmary Road is our church's future. When you're looking, look to the future. See yourself. Picture yourself in the future there. I see Diane and Dale on that one of the slides, and they were smiling. They've got a future. And Dale, part of that future is there at 8300 Infirmary. Amen? Now notice, the first 50 years of our church's history was here on Freedom Street. Praise God. But in the next future, the Lord is going to have us on 8300 Infirmary Road. The question is, where are you? Where is your heart? Are you clinging to the past? Or are you looking to the future? I hope you're looking to the future. The second question is found in Exodus chapter 32, verse 26. Look at Exodus chapter 32. I got them right in order. Exodus chapter 32, verse 26. Moses asked the people of God a question. In Exodus 32:26, Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me then." Moses posed a question. He was up in the Mount of God getting the Ten Commandments. He came down after getting those Ten Commandments. He heard all kinds of wild noise and music and screaming, and they were right. They were drinking. They were worshiping a golden calf. Remember that? Moses slammed down the Ten Commandments. You know, I picture sometimes my Moses. I am a little bit like Moses. He had a bad temper. But only when people got in his way. You had that right, Roddy. They provoked him. Amen? But Moses, listen, Moses was serious about doing God's work. Unless you want to get serious about God's work, it'll never get done. God's work is serious business. Moses knew to do and accomplish the work of God, those who were with him would have to mean business for God. They would have to consecrate their lives for Christ. If you notice in verse 29, Moses said, "Consecrate yourself today to the Lord." How many see that in verse 29? Moses asked that question. Who is on the Lord's side? If you're serious about God and His work, come over and stand with me, he said. Moses knew in his heart he could never achieve anything unless people really committed unto God and God could do a work through them. Listen, tonight my first question was this: where are you? Do you picture yourself there? I hope you can picture yourself in the future. Because until you start picturing yourself there, you'll never work for it. See, I only see the building out there. I only see hundreds of people coming. I see our school in there. I see all kinds of stuff out there. I only picture it. I picture the people playing gym out there in the gymnasium. It's not even built yet, but I see it already. By the way, I'm going to have a little concrete pad put out there outside so we can play basketball outside too sometimes. Especially until the gym gets built. Amen? You know why? Because I'd rather have those teenagers come to God's property than go to the world. I want to provide so my people they don't have to go to the world. They can just go there and let God provide for what they need. Listen, Moses knew in his heart he could never achieve anything unless people really committed unto God. So tonight, my first question was, where are you? Are you in the past? Still hanging on? Or are you looking forward to the future? My second question is, who's on the Lord's side? Are you committed for the Lord? Will you stand with God? We're never going to get there unless we all commit. D, it's going to take our whole church committed. We're not going to get out there by accident. We committed to pay the... When I came here 16 years ago, we committed to pay the bills off. We did. Remember 911 before... We had a 911 way before there ever was a 911 and the Twin Towers. We had a 911 in 1991. Yeah, we did. I looked at all the bills and I said, we have an emergency here. Remember that? I came back and said, we have an emergency. 911. And we need $1,111 in 9 payments to pay off that house. And we need this and this and this to pay. And we had like a 5-year program to pay all the debt. I think we had about $173,000 in debt, roughly. I don't remember the exact number. In that area, probably. But we committed. And I said, all on the Lord's side, stand with me and we'll start putting in 911. And we paid off the land. We paid off the property. And our property was debt-free. Hallelujah. Then we said, let's go get the land. And I think we called it Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will seed and the Lord will provide. If I remember right. We bought that land for $200,000. And we took it out on a 4 or 5 year lease. And I think within 2.5 years, I believe, 2 years, we paid the land off. We did it because all of us together did it. It wasn't just one person. It was all of us committed. Robert, it was all of us on the Lord's side, committed, consecrated. Carl, we worked at it. Amen? Now we're at the crossroad of the biggest thing our church has ever attempted in the history of our church. Even, we take this building for granted. The people that started here years ago with Brother Ferguson and Brother Green and them, I guarantee you, when they had to put this building, just as they were faced with how are we going to get the money to pay for this building. Amen? But they forged ahead together. And so tonight I want us to just think about this. We're going to have to forge together. Sean, when I came here, you were just a little young kid, teenager. And I taught you how to cheat in the game that we played. Amen? And Sean loved me from that time on. We were playing some game out there at Tim and Lynn's. And I can't remember what was the game, but somehow... What was it? Pictionary, yeah. And you were there too, weren't you, Miss Mert? How many was there at Pictionary when Preacher first... Wow. And it's amazing. We had a tremendous time. I knew right then God had put me with you. I knew it right away. I mean, it wasn't even like I was candidating. It was like I had already been your pastor for years. Before I'd even preached here. Saw little Mary... working in this on the wax in the floors, and she said, "Hello, who are you?" And I said, "I'm your new preacher." They hadn't voted yet, but I knew God had done told me that He had called me here. I knew I was here, and God did make the and you did vote me in, and we kept going from there. Amen. And so we're. Do you see yourself? Do you see yourself, number one, in the picture? Number two, are you on the Lord's side? And lastly, number three, look at Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. Numbers 32, verse 6 and 7. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, "Shall your brother go to war, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord had given them? Look up here. Now, when you read verse 1 through 5, you'll see that Reuben and Gad, they were happy just to stay where they were. They said, man, you guys can go over. We like it right where we're at. We're happy. We're content. We don't want to go over to the Jordan. We don't want to cross over. Man, you just go ahead. We'll just stay here. We're satisfied right where we are. And Moses said, no. No. The land across the Jordan is what God has given to the people. There's some battles still to fight. There's some things that still have to be done. We need your help. You come over and help us. And then after we're over there, we set up. You want to come back? Fine. But if you don't go with us now, you're going to discourage the whole 12 tribes. You're going to take down the whole group of people. We've always been a team together. This is a whole team effort. Are you with me? Notice, Moses said in verse 8, don't discourage your brothers like your fathers did in the past. Look at verse 8. Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. Remember he sent out the 12 spies in Numbers 13? How many remember that? And they came back and said, man, they brought the grapes of Hesperon. They said, man, they took two men to carry them. They said, it's just like you said. It's a land of milk and honey. It's tremendous, Moses. It's phenomenal. We've been out there. We saw it. Isn't the land out there tremendous? And they said, it's just like you said. It's tremendous. But there's some giants. And I'm afraid we can't do it. And because they were lacking faith, there's a fine line between faith and foolishness. And the real people of God and the real man of God is supposed to know when it's real faith from God or it's foolishness. How many are still with the preacher? Well, that was faith from God. Caleb and Joshua said, around verse 30, let us go up at once and take it. And if they would have went right then, they would have got it. But they didn't believe God to supply their need. And because they didn't have faith, because they didn't trust God, even though God, would God take them to a place that he couldn't provide for? Would God have told him to go there if he didn't want him to be there? Are you with me? All they had to do was to have faith and push forward. Not foolishly, but walking with God. Walking with God step by step. Waiting on God before they take the next step. And every step with faith, with God's hand upon it. They would have saved them 40 years of wandering and 40 years of heartache and 40 years of lost blessing. I want to tell you as the Moses of this church, I know God wants us to cross over to the promised land. I know some do not want to go, but you need to go anyways. And help us all to work together to achieve what God has given to us. By the way, you'll be glad that you did afterwards. You might not see it all right now. You'll see it later. I took some people out there a couple weeks ago on a holiday, and probably 40, 50 people came that night. And one lady said, preacher, boy, as you preached, I saw it like I never saw it before. Of course God's going to show preacher more. I need to, Arlene, if I don't see it, how can I ever bring it to you? You preachers, don't get mad at people not seeing it. Just thank God he shows it to you. Someday he'll show it to them also. No one's going to love this church more than me. And that includes me above the associate pastors. If the time comes when there's someone loves it more than me, Bobby, I shouldn't be the pastor. Are you with me? Notice Numbers, Moses said, in reality, Reuben and Gad, will you be a team player? Reuben and Gad, will you be a team? Don't discourage your brethren. In other words, will you be a team player? Don't discourage them. Will you encourage them? Will you help the rest of the team? Mike did a good thing. He said something last week that really, he said, I took one for the team. He did too. He picked, I didn't know where the airport was in Pittsburgh, and he took the preacher and picked up his wife and took him out. And all that night, remember, Rob, everybody was going. We were working until 10, 11 o'clock that night. But he opened up a door so I could keep working. He took it for the team. I'm sure he could have been working too. Are you with me? We all have to be a team player. Listen. Reuben and Gad, will you be a team player? The land of milk and honey is before you. The future of God is before you. It's going to take everyone. That means Davy and Shannon and Diane and Dee and Arlene and me and Miss Mert. It's going to take, I'm not going to name it. It's going to take everyone. No one excluded. It just doesn't mean one or two people. Bobby, it's going to take every member of our church. There's no big I's or little U's. We're all the same here. Listen, it's going to take everyone. Everyone has a part to play. Everyone has a role to play. Everyone needs to be a team player. When I first came here, a man told me, and I never forgot it. He said, preacher, we need to be a... It was back when I first came, and we were in dilemma. Amen? He said, preacher, you need to make this church a team. I said, really? He said, you know what team means? T-E-A-M? I said, no. I know team. I played on baseball teams, football teams. I know what a team is. Yeah. But I don't know what you're trying to teach me. He said, team. Think about it. T, together. E, everyone. A, accomplishes. M, much. Together, everyone accomplishes much. See, we have a lot to accomplish out there. We have much to accomplish, so it's going to take everyone of Bethel Baptist Church to be a team. And that's even adding. That's why I'm so excited getting new members. We need to keep adding, because Brother Eddie, unless we add, we'll never get out there. We need to keep adding here at 7:45, so one day we can be out there at 8300 Infirmary Road. Because it's going to take a team of players to make it possible out there. Am I boring you folks? Stay with me. I want to give you an example of team. Not everybody is the same. Not everybody does the same. Not everybody has the same qualities. Not everybody brings everything. Not everybody brings the same things to the table. But everybody brings something to the table. And everything that you bring to the table is important. For instance, I wish I could be given this illustration last year instead of this year. I'm going to give the Cleveland Indians as an illustration. They're having a horrendous year. But last year they won 93 games and they had a tremendous year. But I'm taking two men that play on the team. The single girls are really like, I'm taking Grady Sizemore, which a lot of the single girls, they just love him to death. He's a cute boy. Italian boy that they have out there, Grady Sizemore. And I think he's Italian. If not, he should have been. And then he's a center fielder. He's real fast. And he makes a lot of great catches. Bats around 300. And everyday player. And he bats probably around 15 home runs, 20 home runs a year. Really a good, solid player. Made the All-Star game this year. Played in the All-Star this year. And one of the best center fielders in baseball today. And I'm glad he's playing for the Cleveland Indians. Someday maybe he'll wear the New York pinstripes. We'll see. Cleveland's got a good way of selling all their good stuff. Or just giving it away like the Cincinnati when the kid that played second base. But anyway, so. Then there's a man named Hafner. Pronk. I saw Pronk. Me and David went, and Aussie went to spring training a year ago down in Florida. And Pronk's a big guy, man. And I went, hey, Pronk. And I waved to him. We had just went to the Yankee game. I forgot, took my Yankee off, put the boy Cleveland hat. So I'm waving at the Cleveland with a Yankee hat on, amen. He didn't sign my ball. But Pronk is a tremendous hitter. That guy's a pure hitter. But Pronk has got a bad elbow. Pronk never plays in the field, hardly ever. All he does is bat. He can never make the catches that Sizemore does. He can never run like Sizemore does. He hits more home runs than Sizemore. But be honest with you, Grady Sizemore brings far more different things to the table, which they need. Grady Sizemore gets on base so Pronk can knock him in. Pronk's the home run hitter, but Grady Sizemore, he's the table setter. Look up here. You got to get this. Because some of you might think, well, I'm just younger, I'm old, or this, and I don't have, I don't bring nothing to the table. Yes, you do. We need every person and every kind of talent you have. Like you young, like I thought about Dan and Jordan. Those kids they're computer geniuses. We got Danny working on our audio and stuff, don't we, Rob? Those kids don't. We went and had dinner with those kids. Me and Dave and Robert. I think Robert was with me that day. It was little Eddie. These kids are off the chart with their brains. They were telling me stuff that I realized. I said, yeah. But I had no idea what they were talking about. Buddy, I was walking through the tulips. And so we finally get out, though, D. It starts to rain. The three jocks are sitting underneath the roof, and the three geniuses are out in the rain. And David says, hey, you guys are the brain trust, and we're the grunts. We're underneath the roof, and you're out in the rain. They got enough to build a rocket, but they ain't got no sense to come out of the rain. What I'm trying to tell you is this. We need every type of person. From the guy that cleans the floor to the babysitter to the genius that knows how to run the auto, you know, the ones that sing, the preach, teach, ushers. I'm not going to name everything. We need every single person. We need every single personality. We need every single talent. And by the way, everybody brings something to the table. And just like Grady Sizemore and Hafner by themselves, maybe not be the, but when you put them together, Brian, they make a pretty good team. And Brother Mike, we got a lot of different people with a lot of different talents, with a lot of different things in their life. And I think when we put them together, Tammy, and you're one of those special ones, you've got some special talents. We put together, and we've got a Tawny, we got a pretty good team here. And Cooley just going to take a whole team to get out there. Are you with me? I'm going to close with this thought. We all need to work towards crossing over the Jordan. Would you pray that God would bring the money? Would you pray that God would help us? We've wandered here in the wilderness for 50 years. Not 40, like the children, but now it's time to cross over. No matter who leads you, Moses or Joshua, you're still going over to say, well, I'm going to pray God kills that preacher. So we don't, no, it don't matter. See, it's not me. It's beyond, it, no, you got to get this. It's beyond me. That land's not me. It's all God. That God's given this church that future. I just was fortunate to be pastor at the time. But that's God's future for Bethel Baptist Church. That's not Pastor Skyber's future for Bethel Baptist Church. That's God's future for Bethel Baptist Church. You know, I keep talking, and we get out there, Sean, we're going to have a motorcycle day. I'm really serious. I'm not making this up. I really believe we can have, along with the cars and trucks, we could have 300 motorcycles. You ever see all those guys get together? Get my motorcycle guys there. Go where all them. I got 4, 5, 6 guys there. Jack was wearing his Harley Davidson motorcycle tie today. I'd love to have 300 Harley Davidson motorcycle people come in. Well, preacher, you want that kind of a church? Listen, I want all kinds of people to come. I want every kind of people. See, that church is for all people. And by the way, they're just like you and I. Most of you are just afraid of them. But if you get to know them, they're just as nice and cuddly as you are. I wouldn't want to mess with Steve Browning, but Mr. B's just a big teddy bear. He's a great guy. He's got a heart bigger than himself. That guy back there looks like Mr. Clean. He's got a heart. He's got a heart, and so is his son, Josh. His other son's ornery as can be, Sean. Sean's the ornery one. Takes after his preacher. But to build a great work, and we're going, I'm telling you, did you see him coming in Sunday night? The Lord showed us every time we go out there. We don't even have a church building yet. Every time we do a function out there, they just, like that Field of Dreams, they just keep coming in and coming in. What I like about there, though, when they come in, I have a place to park their car. Amen? And we got so much. Did you see Arlene said this to me, and I know I'm going on, but and it went through my heart and David's heart. We talked. She looked back and saw all the people in all the different areas. There were people in the picnic tables. There were people in the pavilion. There were people in the ball diamond, volleyball. And the Mel had some like little washer near the horseshoes and stuff. And everybody was having fun. Everybody was laughing. Everybody was really enjoying themselves on God's land. And what was so great about it, Jan, the Lord, we didn't have to rent that land from the world. It's ours. Because God gave it to us. Isn't that exciting? We had fireworks because we had our own land. I would have never tried that on another people's land. Weren't those fireworks great? I'll tell you, thank David and Freddie and Chad. We were blessed. But all the time we were seeing them go up, those guys that were doing it, they never saw one firework. They were too busy shooting them in those. We enjoy, because they gave of themselves, we enjoy. Are you with me? We're going to have to give of ourselves so in the future people can enjoy themselves on that 30 acres of land. Amen. Just like Jesus gave himself for us. I want to close with this thought. No matter God's future, God's will for us is that promised land. We need to have the heart like Joshua and Caleb in Numbers 13:30. Let us go up at once and possess it. My goal is to try to build this year. I'm not going to say we're going to. I'm going to do everything by God's grace. If we can, we'll go forward. If we can't, then we won't. But I'm pushing forward. If God will open up a door and make a way, if God will make a way, and if he's in it, he will make a way. If he's not, then we'll wait. I'm not going to take us where we can't make a payment. I'm not going to take us where it would become a curse instead of a blessing. How many are with me? I want the church to know that. I want you. Preacher is dead. I am dedicated. My heart is dedicated to be on that land. And I'm going to, and my heart's dedicated to be on as quick as I can. But I want you to know, Bud and the rest of you, Tommy, as much as I want to be on that, and I know we're going to be, I'm going to wait till God opens the door for us to get in there. How many are still with me? He can do all things. You don't know. You know, we just need to realize that we got to do all we can. And then God will do the rest. There's always an Anderson somewhere for a church. Amen? Brother Anderson was a blessing to Dr. Hiles. Brother Randy told me he had a millionaire come to his church and are helping them. God can raise up someone, somehow, somewhere. You never know. There are Russell Andersons all over the world, and God knows how to raise them and bring them when we need them. I'm going to give you one little illustration. I love radios. You know I love radios. I love scanners and AM and FM and you name it, police bands and sideband and ham. Ham operator radios do this. Ham operator, we have ham operators here in Ravenna, Kent, up here in Bedford, Ohio, no doubt Cuyahoga Falls. And the ham operators, they can talk on 1 or 2 watts. They can go below sometimes, and they get, that's real close. They get a kick out just over the airways, trying to get as, going along as far as they can with the lowest wattage they can, even below a watt, half a watt. Are you with me? But when those people, D, want to talk to like England or Australia or Africa or Germany, somewhere like that, they need a little more to push them over. And they have what they call an amplifier, a linear. And it puts out extra wattage. And what it does, Eddie, it lets them get over enough, over the horizon to make it. See, your radio waves don't go straight out like they go. Are you with me? And so, but that little extra wattage helps them get over. You know, if we'll just do what we need to do, Rob, and keep trusting God and waiting, God will, His hand will work in there, and He'll just put that little edge to help us get over to the other side. Are you with me? God can put down that little helper to make us make the shot all the way across the pond, as they call it. I made a shot over the pond. That's the ocean. Are you with me? You're not. You don't give a flip about radios. Much as I try to get you, but you don't like them. I'm just saying this to you. Keep praying, looking for God to do it. Work. But I don't want our church to be divided. So last thing I ever want to do is divide this church. One thing we've done in this church, I've kept us together. And to be honest with you, I'd rather be all together here than scattered there. But I want us to cross over together over the Jordan. We're going to cross over 14 one day. You're going to put this organ, pianos, and you're going to we'll probably have new ones for the auditorium, but we'll put these in classrooms and stuff. And you're going to be crossing over the Jordan, Route 14, going to the Promised Land. And when we cross over, and we will, I want us all to be excited. And I want us all to be of one heart. I want us all to say, God, we're thankful that you're taking us to the land of milk and honey. Amen? And let's just work. I give you my word. I won't take us under. I won't do anything till God shows his hand. I'm working at things to try to make things, see if they can work, make possible. It's nothing wrong to try to knock, and the Bible says knock, seek, ask. That's what preacher's doing right now. But I give you my word as the pastor. We won't do anything until we know God's hand's in it. And I'll bring it back to the church and you'll vote on it before we ever do anything. Are you with me? Preacher's doing a lot of things to make things happen. But nothing will happen until we see the hand of God. And then you'll know about it, and you'll vote on it before we do it, before it happens. Amen? I want to close with this thought. But I want you to know that I'm pushing to get a building started in 2006. My heart is to start building in 2006. I haven't changed. My heart is to build in 2006. Tommy, I don't know if we're going to be able to do it, but my heart is I want to do it. And if God will make a way, I've got enough faith to follow him. I'm going to be honest with you, David, I'm like Caleb and Josh. Let's go now. Brother Dollar, Brother Jack, I'm going to tell you right now, if I see God make a way for us, I'm coming back to the church and say, I see God's hand. Let's go up immediately. But I won't do it until I see God's full hand shown. I close with this, the three questions. Where are you? Did you see yourself? Do you see yourself in the picture? Do you see yourself in the picture for the future out there? Well, I hope you do. Who's on the Lord's side? Will you consecrate yourself to God? Are you on the Lord's side, or are you on the straddle on the fence? Fence straddlers, they bring a reproach to God. They don't do nothing for God, but they make a reproach to God. We need Christians that are not fence straddlers, but are sold out, consecrated. I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Unless, will you be a team player? Will you do your part? Will you discourage people, or will you encourage people for the promised land? Bless God, I'm not going there. He might have gave it to him, but he didn't give it to me. He did if you're a part of this church. I want to be an encourager. Hey, Reuben and Gad, we went through all this together, and now you want to discourage the rest of your brethren? Hey, Reuben and Gad, how much more does God got to do to show you? Why would you stop on God now? We're almost there. Reuben and Gad, we just got a few more battles, and we're going to cross over. Help us do that. If you want to go back, you can. But we have to go forward. And you're part of the work. And you need us. You need to help us. Every member of Bethel Baptist, whether you're for the promised land or against it, God's word says, you need to help us get over to the other side. That's what it says. And they said, okay, Moses, we'll do it. And you read that verse down in 23. Moses says, all right, be sure your sin will find you out. In other words, we always use that for sinning. But he said, what he's meant there, be sure your sin will find you out, Brian. In other words, if you don't keep your promise to do to help us get over to the promised land, then you didn't keep your word, then you sinned about not keeping your word to help us get over. It's not talking about adultery or some other sin. It's talking about the sin of not getting in the battle. It's not going to be easy to get over there. If it was, everybody would be over there. It's going to take hard labor and work and dedication and faith. Faith. Bethel Baptist, I pray God will anoint you with faith. Every church that ever made a great move for God, they had to have faith. If any man lack wisdom, James 1:5, let him ask of God. Pray for wisdom and pray for faith. Heavenly Father, thank you for the night you gave me with my people. I wanted just to sit and talk to them. They listened so intently. Thank you. Pray you'll bless each one. Lord, thank you for the promised land. Wow. It is a land of milk and honey. We see it every time we go out there. Lord, help us to cross over to it. Help us to be a team, together, working together, praying together, serving together, giving together, trusting you together, and then blessed together as a big group. Come down and bless our people. Help us to see us in the picture. Help us to get on your side. And help us, dear God, to not to be a discourager, but an encourager. Help us to be a good team player. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse.